the last one, talking about your women and men, but mostly women, being committed to the women that God has placed in your life. And what I'm talking about is specifically like your friendships that the Lord has given you, your small group, this church. So I thought it would be fun to show you guys some of my women that are in my life. Do you want me to keep clicking? There you go. This is Sienna and me. This is in September. She got married out at our house. We live on 6 acres. And so their reception was up sort of on this hill, and there was these trees that sort of made this naturally occurring arbor. And so they got married there, and then our reception was down on our back patio, and I was her matron of honor. I look at this picture, and I'm like, oh, it was nice to be the summer and tan. We'll get there again. But I think that Sienna is a really fun picture to me of a woman that God has brought in my life, because for the last year, Rich and I have been leading a small group of just young married couples with no kids. And we've been on family small groups for like 37 million years. And I have loved every second of it. But it's really funny because when Rich and I started out sort of in ministry together, we were doing college students and obviously no children. And then we did family. And just in the last year, the Lord has brought us several couples in our church that are all newly married, and they don't have any kids, and all of them individually talked to Rich and I about, could we do our own small group? Could we talk about things that are related to marriage? And not knowing anything about Rich's and my story, but they just, you know, they had been kind of connecting with us anyway, so could we start this small group? So for the last year, we've had this small group. We meet weekly. All our family small groups meet every other week, but we meet together weekly, and it's been such a cool picture to me of God redeeming riches in my story, and God redeeming our pain, and the Lord has been faithful to Rich and I, and he's redeemed our story for each other, and in each other, and in each other's lives, but I think it's so cool of God that he can redeem the years the locust ate in other people's lives, and he can say, yep, this really hard thing that you worked through and that you've gone through, it wasn't for waste. Yes, the fact that Rich and I worked through it is a really good thing, and it has brought a lot of healing and enjoyment in our relationship. But to be able to take that a step further and say, hey, this is what we did. This is what you shouldn't do. This is what the Lord taught us. And being able to just share with them like communication tools and things that the Lord has taught us and sort of redeem that pain for us has been a really sweet thing that the Lord has done in our lives too. So, and it's also encouraging to me when you women have come up to me and said, hey, that really helped me. Because honestly, it helps me feel even more peaceful that there's a reason and a purpose for walking through hard things. And if it's to be a blessing to any one of you guys in your lives and what you're working through, then that makes me feel even more like, amen, Lord, I'll keep working through things. I'll keep walking through things to articulate what you've taught me if that would be a blessing to others. So it's been encouraging to me to have you guys come up and say that. This is Bobby and me. This is clearly the same day. We were dressed up. You know, we don't typically walk around like this. Bobby has 5 kids. Obviously, I have 5 children. She is married to Drew Mahaly, and Drew and Rich are the pastors in Parker. I did not know Bobby very well until we moved down to Parker. She was in Denver with us. We were on totally different small groups, and the church up there was a lot bigger. So she and I knew each other, but we didn't, like, know each other. Drew took this picture of us, and I actually put it on Instagram back in September. And my caption was, sometimes you don't know who you've been missing your whole life until God brings them into your life. And this has been Bobby with me and in my life and in our friendship. And it's funny because she and I are very different. She and I We are wired similarly in some things and wired very, very differently in other ways. But she has been a massive blessing to my life. I love her children like they're my nieces and nephews. And it's been a really fun, sweet friendship and really fun to partner with Drew and Bobby and be doing this church down in Parker. So those are some of the women. I have lots of fun women that I enjoy spending time with, but those are two of them. So let's pray, and we will jump into this. Lord, we do just thank you for morning. We thank you for teachings. We thank you for discussion questions. We thank you for fellowship. God, we thank you that you have designed us to be women who enjoy doing life with one another, and we enjoy talking, and we enjoy discussing and just sharing lives. And God, we thank you for that. And we know that you didn't have to wire us that way, but we sure appreciate it and sure enjoy getting the time to just chat and talk and be real with one another. And God, we pray that you would just be here for the remainder of this time. And God, we're choosing to settle ourselves again for one last teaching and a Q&A. And Father, I just pray that you would speak through me and share what you want to have said. And I pray, God, that you would have this conference be a hallmark for each one of the women in this room, including myself. God, that you would... that we would be able to point to this as a marker, that we would be able to point to this as a definite time in our life, as a finite time in our life, that you revealed something to us that you want to get victory in and you want to change and help us grow in. And God, that this weekend would be the weekend that we started to see victory in that and that we started engaging with you in that. And God, we just thank you, we love you, and we pray that you would be here right now. In your name I pray, amen. So Bobby's fine with me telling this story. I already asked her. I remember she called me. So she had already moved down to Parker. I had not yet moved down to Parker. They moved down like, I think maybe 6 months before we did. We were selling a house, and Drew wasn't a pastor at the time, so he was just working at Comcast, and so it was a little easier for them to sort of transition down, and they were renting, and then they bought down in Parker, so they kind of transitioned a little bit faster than we did, but we were working our way down there. We just were, you know, trying to sell a house, and but I had driven down. There was a few women, I can't remember if I've said this, but there was like 30 women, 30 families, not true. There was 30 people, yes, I said that, that were driving up from South Denver up to the place where we had our Firehouse Church location. And obviously the guys decided, hey, this isn't sustainable for a church. Let's start another location down there. So we were all gonna, Drew and Bobby and us were the only two families that moved down there. Everyone else was already down there. And so one night we decided, hey, we should get all the girls together. Like, let's get the women together and let's go out for dinner or do something just to connect. And so I drove down there and we met at like a Panera Bread or something. And they were all living down there and had been living down there for a while. So I drove down. We did Panera. I didn't even remember we did. Bobby was like, yeah, we ate Panera and all this stuff. And I was like, and so then I drove back up to Denver and went to bed, whatever. And the next morning, I get a phone call from Bobby. And I like Voxer or texting. I have a hard time being on the phone. I think it's my dad's fault. He likes to have conversations that consist of five words. And so he's trained me well. We are on the phone and we are brief. And so Voxer for me is really helpful because you can kind of talk and chat whenever it sort of works in your world, or you text. And I'm a ridiculously fast texter. We'll be sitting in the car driving and like I'll be driving or something and Rich is texting, or he'll be driving and he's like, can you respond for me? Someone has texted him, and so I'll like text him back. And people, the guys that he's texting are like, is Morgan texting for you? Because that was a real fast response. And Rich is like this when he texts. This is how he does. He's like, you know, and I'm like, no one has time for that. Yeah. So the guys will literally be like, is this you? You know, and so then I'll hop on there and I'll be like, this is me. Don't say anything that you don't want me to know. but so anyway, I get this phone call from Bobby, and I'm like, oh, I should probably answer. Like, she's calling me. And so I answer the phone, and I'm like, yeah, what, you know, what's going on? And she started crying. And she was like, last night was really hard for me. And I was like, okay, you know, tell me why. Like, why was last night really hard for you? And share with me what's you're thinking. And she was like, I just don't feel like I have a place here. And I don't feel like I connected with anybody last night. And I don't feel like there's any real friendships there for me or even potential friendships there for me. And that's really hard for me to think about because we've sort of committed to this and we've bought a house. And I'm not sure that this is where we're supposed to be. And we were chatting through it, and, you know, and I'm trying to come alongside her and be very empathetic and try to understand what she's thinking. And so then, you know, she's like, so what do you think? And I said, well, I do have a couple questions for you. And she was like, yeah, what's that? And I said, why didn't you ask? And she had been talking specifically that a group of us had been talking about sewing machines. And she didn't know what we were talking about. And she had no idea what we were talking about. And it felt like a foreign language to her. And she was like, I just felt very much like I was out of place. And I said, well, how come you didn't ask what we were talking about? Like, how come you didn't ask what is a sewing machine? Like, why, if you're sitting around a group of women and you are connecting that with at least a certain percentage of them, sewing machines sort of light them up and they're really excited about it, why are you not just asking? Like, why is it that we only have to be talking about things that you connect with or that you understand? Like, if you are our friend and you're trying to build friendships and build relationships with us, why wouldn't you say, okay, well, they clearly care about this, so I'm going to ask them about it. And she would say that conversation with me, I didn't even remember that conversation, though she has referenced it many, many times for the last 4 years of us being together, and so now I remember it. But I didn't even connect. I didn't even remember that conversation. She remembered it very clearly. And it's funny because Bobby has, she is a completely different woman as far as friendships and relationships with women go than she was 4 years ago. You could ask any woman that goes to our church, and they would feel like they have a connection with Bobby, and they have a friendship with Bobby, and they have a relationship with Bobby, and it's not because they're similar, and it's not because they like the same things, and it's not because Bobby just is this natural, oh, yeah, I'm just like this normal conversationalist, and I love having conversations. She took that to heart and decided that if she wanted friends, she needed to be a friend first and foremost. And if she wanted women to be invested in her life, then she needed to invest in other women's life. There's the verse, 2 Corinthians 9:6. Says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And your point is sow generously. I am a simple woman. My points are not deep theological points, and I hope that's not why you came this weekend. I also had this moment after this last one that I was like, Morgan, just read the verse and say the point so you can stop like fumbling with the PowerPoint. But your point is so generously. I have learned in my life, in my own life, this is coming from what I have learned in relationships with women for the last however many years of my life that God has given me the honor and the privilege to be involved with women, is you will feel 100%, you will feel connected with the women in your life 100% directly related to how much heart and how much time you invest in the women in your life. It does not have to do with how much heart and time other women around you invest in you. It has everything to do with how much heart and how much time you invest in the women around you, and you will feel connected, directly related to that. In order to be a friend, you have to be a friend first. The amount of times that I have had women come up to me in the course of being a pastor's wife for 20 years, I cannot tell you how many times a woman has come up to me and said, I just don't feel connected here. I just don't feel like I make connections on my small group or I'm making connections in my church. I just don't feel connected. I don't think this is the place for me. And, you know, at the beginning of being a pastor's wife, I was, you know, I tried to be empathetic and, okay, you know, we're going to work harder to help you feel connected, and we're going to work harder to help you feel like this is the place for you. And I would try to do that. I would try to be really deliberate in connecting with them and texting or calling or whatever. And then time would go on, and it didn't change. Those same women that were telling me that were continuing to tell me that. Regardless of the amount of time I was investing in them, they were still telling me the same thing. And so then I started thinking, okay, I'm pouring out my time to them, and they're continuing to share with me the exact same thing. And so then I started to connect with, it doesn't have anything to do with me. That it has everything to do with you. And I'm not saying you like you. I'm saying I learned that in my own life. If I want to feel invested in the women in my small group, I invest. I don't wait for them to invest in me. If I want to feel invested with my women in church, whether I'm a pastor's wife or not, I can show up on a Sunday morning and not invest my heart and my time and be smiling and be there and be connecting with people on a shallow level. If I'm not investing my heart and time on a Sunday morning or in my small group or the women that God has placed in my life, I don't feel connected. And it is 100% on us. But I think that that is such an encouraging place to be. I think it's a hopeful place to be as women, that it's something that if you're not feeling connected, if you're not feeling like these are my people, these are my women, these are my ride or dies, then you get to change it by investing your heart and by investing your time in it. Matthew 7:12 says, do for other people whatever you would like to have them do for you. And I think that's such an encouraging verse to think of and connect with, even just in our friendships with other women. I think so much of what holds us back from investing our hearts and our time is because we are insecure. That if I invest my me, if I show you me, if I'm the real me, maybe you're not going to like me. But that's an insecurity that's not rooted in God's word, and that's not reflective of who we are as women who are daughters of the King, who've been fearfully and wonderfully made, who God has designed exactly the way that we are, who's taken great time and pride in designing us who we are. We, when we get our security from the Lord, when we go to Him to find out who we are, then we get to invest our heart in the women around us because we're not insecure in who we are. We take delight in, this is who the Lord has made me to be. This is who the Lord has made you to be. I want to invest in you, and I want to have real relationships, and I want to have real friendships with you, not shallow ones. The world is shallow, right? We need to look different from the world around us in our relationships with women. It's such a blessing and such an encouragement to have a tribe of women around you who says, I know you. I know you're ugly. I know you're good. I know the things that you're working through, and I come alongside you, and I accept you, and I embrace you. And we all get to do that in each one of our small groups and then in this church collectively as a whole. I think it's funny. I mentioned, you know, the LT. So I first got together with the college students at a ski conference in 97. I was 17, and we connected. So we were in Omaha, and Dad drove us to this gas station. We met up with Iowa college students who were driving across to Colorado. And we were going to meet up with Josh and Mandy. My older sister, Erin, and I were going to meet up with Josh and Mandy out in Colorado, and we did a ski conference together. And it was I skied once before. Dad and Mom had taken me skiing, but Josh loved to ski. We skied, right? Is that the first time? Krista took us skiing, me skiing. And I loved it. I loved skiing. I thought it was like, I've been missing this my whole life, you know. But even more than the skiing part of it, it was the first time that I connected with men and women around me who are the same age as me, who were passionate about following Jesus, and who were passionate about loving Jesus, and who were passionate about reading the Bible and choosing to live their lives according to the Bible. And they were unapologetically biblical in what they were wanting with their life and what they were wanting to do and where they were wanting to go. And then that summer, so that was January of 97, and then the summer of 97 is when we did Myrtle Beach, and then the next two summers, We did Estes Park, two LTs, and I moved out to Colorado at the end of the summer of 97 in Myrtle Beach. Like I said, Josh had convinced me that, you know, go west, young man, you got to come to Colorado, or young woman. And so I moved out here in May of 98, and then Josh and I went up and drove up together and started LT, and then I have been a Coloradoan for, 20? I can't do the math. It's too much pressure. I very much took to heart the verse, Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. And I was very intrigued by these men and women who were in my same stage of life, and they were 18, 19, 20, and they were college students and working professionals, and I was intrigued and I was drawn in by their life. They looked different from the people around me that were maybe half-heartedly following the Lord. They obviously looked very different from the men and women around me who did not call themselves Christians or follow the Lord in any way. And I started to think, okay, so if this verse is... That's not the right. Hang on. That is the, that was on the last teaching, that verse. I need the one, walk with the wise and become wise. That's okay. We'll keep going. I'll read it to you. You guys can look it up later. Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Your point is you will become who you spend time with. I think I would guess that most of us are not making time choices between good and bad. I would hope that most of us, as you're all here, which means that you're not making decisions between, is this a good thing to spend my time? Is this a good place to spend my time? Or is this a bad place to spend my time? I think that for most of us in our lives, we're choosing between good, better, and best time choices. I think that it's very sober when we realize we are going to become who we spend time with. We're going to become who we spend time with. Our children are going to become who we spend time with. The question that I ask myself on a regular basis is, what's the quality like of the women that I'm spending time with? What's the quality like of the families that I'm spending time with? There is a lot of things in our life that we have opportunities to that would very arguably be good things to be spending our time. And yep, I get it. And there's very arguably things that are better time choices that we can make. There's only a few things that are the best time choices that we can make. And if it's true that we become who we spend time with, then I think it becomes very sobering very quickly when you're evaluating, okay, so then what's the quality like? What's the quality of the women and the families and the children that I'm around? Because that's who I'm going to become, and that's who I'm going to spend time with. Galatians 6:10 says, therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. I have been very challenged by that verse in the last couple of years, and the Lord has very much just brought to me, hey, so whenever you have the opportunity, Morg, you've got to be doing good to everyone around you, especially those in the family of faith. And it's been really cool to be given opportunities. And for my own life, because we're at a different stage, my kids are older, I decided a while ago that I'm not going, or as much as it depends on me, if I could be a blessing to the women in my life who have littles, I'm not going to tell them no with babysitting. And I have big kids, and I have teens, and my youngest is 7, and I remember very much feeling like when I was a mom of young kids and not having that one person that you could be like, okay, if there's a doctor's appointment that I don't want to drag my 37 million children to, that I can call this friend. And so years ago, I decided if it fits into my day, if it doesn't cause chaos to my routine and my schedule, then I'm going to say yes to babysitting my friends if they need a babysitter. The girls and I have made many, many meals for many of our friends who you know, maybe pregnant and feeling sick or came off a surgery or something. It's been amazing opportunities to be doing good to everyone around us, especially those in the family of faith. I love Proverbs 11:25. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. It speaks again to if we want to feel connected and we want to feel invested in the lives of the women around us, then we get to be the ones that invest. We don't look to others to invest in our lives. We start investing in the lives of others around us. There's a verse in Proverbs that says, Proverbs 26, lots of people claim to be loyal and loving, but where on earth can you find one? And your point is choose loyalty. Proverbs 3:3-4. This is one of my life verses that is on my 3x5 cards that I pray through as I'm walking. Don't lose your grip on love and loyalty. Tie them around your neck. Carve their initials on your heart. Earn a reputation for living well in God's eyes and the eyes of the people. I pray this verse often. I pray the verse that I would earn a reputation for living well in God's eyes. He is first and foremost the one that I want to be living well within. Dad has told me my whole life, and it sounded so cheesy when I was younger, but it's absolutely true. He said, Morg, you've got to be living for an audience of one. And as a kid, you know, you're kind of like, what? And then as you get older, you're sort of like, oh, like, my audience is one. And yes, I get that I have a husband and I have children and I have women in my life, but my audience is one. I am living for the audience of one. My choices need to be, or I hope, are bringing him honor. And I am earning a reputation for living well in God's eyes. But I also want to be earning a reputation for living well in the eyes of the men and the women around me. I think if you have pay attention to all four of these teachings, the two things that God has used the most in my life to change me from who I was to the woman I am, and I'm confident he's going to use these same two things in my life for the rest of my entire life, is his word and my relationship with him and sitting at his feet and connecting with him. And it's the men and women in my life. And it's the men and women in my small group. And it's the men and women in the churches that God has brought me to. And my churches that I've been a part of for the last 20 years of my life, 30 years of my life, have all been very different. I've gone from Omaha out to Fort Collins, to Denver, to Parker. The churches have changed frequently over the last 25 years, 30 years. But the choice that I have had to make every single one of those times and every single one of those churches is, am I going to invest in the women that God has placed in my life in this church? Do I believe that God designed my land? Do I believe that this is not arbitrary? Do I believe that God led me to this church? Do I believe that God led me to this small group? Do I believe that God led me to this group of women? And if I do, then I need to believe that I need to be investing here. And these are the people that I want to invest in. And I do want to be investing my life alongside men and women who are passionately following the Lord and passionately want to change the things in their life that they don't like and they know they're not supposed to be there. And I said this, I think, last night. Each one of us has something in our life. We all have multiple things in our life that you have the sense this should not be. That's our flesh. That is the things that the Lord says, hey, I can come alongside you and I can help you walk out of this and you can be a changed woman and you can be a woman who looks back and you say, yeah. I used to struggle with anger. I used to struggle with rage. I used to rage against Rich. I am forgiven by the Lord and I am forgiven by my husband, but I am ashamed of what I used to do when we were struggling through things and the words that came out of my mouth and the behavior that I displayed and expressed to Rich, it was sinful outpourings of my flesh. And I engaged with the Lord on it, and I knew it had to be because I knew I was tearing down my marriage with my own hands because of my sin and because of my flesh. And I engaged with God, and I engaged with God, and I engaged with God. I used to raise my voice to the girls. I used to yell at my girls, my little toddler girls, and I knew that's not what the Lord wanted for me, and I knew that he wanted something different for me, and I knew that he had designed me to be more than that, and I knew I needed to engage with my flesh on that, and I did. And I'm not saying that I am perfect in this, because I'm not, but I was telling Rory or Graham, I don't remember, a couple weeks ago, I said, I was telling them, do you remember this? Do you remember that I would, like, yell? And I'm not like, you do this. I mean, I would like yell. And I was like, do you remember that? And they're like, no. And it's a testimony to what the Lord does in our lives, in the things that we know that he has designed us for something more than where we're at. And those things are in us, and they are designed to drive us to our knees and bring us before our Father. And the two most consistent things that have changed those weaknesses in my life, and by the grace of God, someday they are going to be strengths in my life. The two most consistent things are the Word of God, my relationship with the Lord through the Word of God, and the women and the men that I am in churches with. And I have made the choice over and over and over again to sacrifice my time and to sacrifice the things that I've wanted to do or my flesh. And I have chosen over and over again to commit to the women around me and the men and women in the church that I'm in. And I believe that it has changed my life. And I can point to the last 25 years of my life, and I could say, yep, this, and yes, this, and yes, this. And that's part of why I wanted to show pictures of the last 20-some years of my life, because the men and women that have been in it look really, really different over the course of it. But the thing that has not changed is I have consistently chosen, okay, Lord, then I'm going to be here, and I'm going to pour my heart and soul into the women around me, and I'm going to pour my heart and soul into this church. And it has changed me, and it has given me friendships that know me and know the real me, and it has given me a sense of knowing other people and being fully known and being fully accepted, and friendships that are very deep. That Robert Frost poem, I know you guys have heard this a million times, but I love this line, and I have had this line in my head for the entire course of my adult life. Two roaches diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. And I think that often, and that thinking goes through my head often. More, the choice that you have to make is actually the less popular one, and it's actually the one less traveled by. And we are surrounded by men and women who, not in this church, but who have chosen to do maybe a more casual Christianity or a casual love of the Word of God, and that's fine, and they will reap the fruit of it, and that's amen to them. That's great. That's not where I am, and that's not where God has led our family to be. I want to be passionately coming alongside the men and women that God has placed in my life, because I love the fruit of their life, and I look at them, and I'm like, I want to be like that, not in a comparison way, but in a longing to be someone better and in a longing to be someone more. And these men and women that God has placed in my life consistently over the last 25 years have helped me get there, and I have continued to choose the road less traveled by, and it has genuinely made all the difference. And I think tonight, or today, if you guys are sitting here, and maybe there is some of you who've thought over the course of this weekend, hey, I'm not sure that I have done that first step. I'm not entirely sure that I've even quite said yes to Jesus. Like, that all sounds really good, but I'm not sure that I have a relationship with the Lord first. And that is the first step in this relationship with the Lord, and in this walk with the Lord, and in this journey with the Lord, is to say yes, is to say I am a sinner, is to say, yep, I need you. And if you're there, and over the course of this weekend you've thought, I'm not sure that I've done that, then amen. There is a real freedom in even just expressing that and recognizing that that's where you are. But that is a very simple step that you can take right now today and say, Lord, yeah, I am a sinner, and I have a lot of things in me that are ugly, and you died, and you have already forgiven me for every one of those, and I accept your forgiveness, and I want you to be the Lord of my life, and I want you to come into my life, and I want you to rule my life. And you can make that decision today, and that will begin to change you, and that will be a significant step, and that's your first step of loyalty. That's your first loyalty that you choose, is I choose you, Jesus. I want you. I want to have a God that sees me. I want a God that knows me. I want to come alongside you, and that's your first step. So, that is all I have. Maybe I'll quick pray, okay? Dear Lord, we do just thank you for today. We thank you for this weekend. God, I am honored and I am humbled to be here this weekend. God, I am honored and I am humbled to give witness to what you've done in my life, and not in any way because I'm proud of me and I'm proud of who I am. I am proud of you, Jesus. I'm proud of what you've done in my life. And if in any way it communicates hope to women sitting here and it communicates encouragement to women sitting here, God, I am honored to get to speak to that. And I just thank you for these women that they took the time out of their days and their weeks to come here and sit before you. God, I pray that you would bless their faith. God, I pray that if there's any woman in this room that has made the realization that she hasn't made that first step, I pray, Father, that she would do that right now today, right now, this moment. God, that she would admit that she's a sinner and that she needs you. And God, that she would just praise you and thank you for what you've done in her life, that she would invite you to live in her heart, and God, that you would be Lord of her life, and that today would mark the beginning of her relationship with you. And God, I just pray for each one of us as we go home into all our busy and whatever we have on our plates. God, I just pray that you'd be with us. I pray that you'd be real to us. I pray that you would show your self powerfully to each one of us women. I thank you that I got to be here this weekend with everyone. God, I thank you that even though I live in Colorado, I feel like in this room I have a whole bunch of sisters that we are doing life together, and we are trying to seek you, and we are trying to follow you. And God, it's a very amazing thing for me to get to do. And I just pray that you bless our Q&A and the rest of our time, and your name I pray, amen.